more Cap and Haw on Comcast Sportsnet and WGN Plus.
This is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind of town. Chicago is my kind.
Welcome back. Love this song. Love this song. Oh, phenomenal. 312-235-2525, Cap and Hall.
You said you threw me up for a loop there, Cap. If I looked quizzical or if people saw me look in my, I get a lot of comments on my facial expressions, try not to look too. But when you said the Bears have the 31st pick, I was like, huh?
Peter King has them trading with New Orleans. He said, shot in the dark, trade in exchange for the 31st pick. New Orleans gets the 39th, 106th, and 192nd picks.
Okay, so that is quite a shot in the dark.
Shot in the dark.
Quite a shot in the dark.
He said Pace knows the Patriots love UConn players and had his own contingent Tuesday at Husky Pro Day where Jones ran a 4.38, a 4.44.
Interesting. Another thing, breaking news before we get to a couple calls. You know, we began the show talking about the Indiana law and how it's similar to other laws and states. Well, Arkansas is going through a similar religious freedom bill, which would have this similar type effect. Maybe not as open-ended as the Indiana law, but anyway, the Arkansas governor, Republican governor Asa Hutchinson, has decided not to sign it until they alter the language in the bill. So he has asked the state legislature to alter the religious freedom bill sent to his desk before he'll sign it.
Good.
Which is a response,
because
I think,
as of yesterday, he said he was going to sign it.
So that is sounds like a governor that is responsive. And then there's Mike Pence.
Correct. From Indiana. Also, Tampa Bay Lightning. This came out today because it's April Fool's.
Oh, yeah, it is, by the way.
When Terry Crisp was coaching.
Which explains your shirt.
The funny guy.
The color. You don't usually wear the light green. I like it, though. Yeah. I like it. I have a lot of that. I like that.
Terry Crisp was the coach of the Lightning. He had Mark Bergevin, who's now the GM up in Montreal. Uh-huh. He was such a sneakily effective prankster that he threatened to force him that anytime he was around the team, he'd have to have bells on so they could hear him coming.
Bergevin?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember doing a column when he was with the Hawks on all the things that he did as a player because he was quite the prankster. Good sense of humor. Nice to see him having a little success in the front office.
Yeah, absolutely. 312-235-2525. Ed's in Tinley Park. Edward, how are you?
Morning, guys. Enjoy your show every day.
Thank you.
Really dig it.
Thanks.
Quickly, a quick spin on the Bryant thing, and I don't know if you'll agree or not, but I understand the 12 games versus a full year, and that makes all the sense in the world. But I think we've got to also be open to the possibility in those 12 games, if we were to go 2-10 or 3-9, and then Bryant comes up, and then things turn around, and at the end of the year, we miss the playoffs by a couple or three games. We're going to be the laughing stock for not having brought him up. What do you think of that?
I think that's a very perceptive comment.
Uh-huh. And what if Mike Alt hits 5 home runs in that 14 days, and the Cubs win those games, and you go, holy smokes, what if we'd had Bryant up here, and he didn't do that?
No, none of us have a crystal ball on any of this. I totally sure these are all possibilities. Yep. I'm just saying we've got to be prepared. If that happens, we would be the laughing stock of baseball, and probably deservedly so.
Ed, I like looking ahead at like that. You're right. We don't have crystal ball. That's a good phone call, Cap. I mean, he is just speaking to the possibility that could happen. They could do the Angels when they waited to bring up Mike Trout.
Mm-hmm.
They missed the playoffs that year, correct?
By 4 games.
Yeah. What if I wrote this a couple weeks ago when I, you know, conceded to the point where I understand the realities of all this, and it's a losing battle to fight. But it would serve the Cubs right to miss the playoffs by 1 game this year.
It would not serve them right.
It would.
You are unbelievable.
Because they would have, hey, look at all the fun they would have in 2021. It would. It kind of would. It'd be poetic justice.
By the way, White Sox have officially assigned Carlos Rodon and Jesse Crane to their minor league.
Yes,
camp.
And this is not, we come rapid fire information here because of the Twitter machine, which you so love. But this is not an April Fool's joke. Patrick Kane is practicing with the Blackhawks.
He is. Correct.
Patrick Kane is practicing with the Blackhawks.
How awesome is that?
That is very awesome. It's on the scale of awesome, it's a 9.5.
Yeah, I kept seeing all the tweets. I'm like, okay.
And then there's video.
There's video.
So nobody should get too far ahead here. Why this is good is because it looks like 12 weeks was maybe conservative, very conservative. 12 weeks is in May. So is in mid-May. We're April 1st, and Patrick Kane is back practicing. He cannot play in the regular season, remember, because the whole salary caps.
Because he's on long-term IR.
And they reconfigured that to their advantage. But he's back on the ice taking shots and looking like Patrick Kane.
That's hockey, baby!
You got to have a little excitement about the NHL playoffs coming up.
All right, let me ask you a question. Would you be stunned? Game one, they're playing at Nashville. Patrick Kane.
Not now.
I wouldn't either.
Not now. And all sorts of things start to – imagine the boost that gives you just psychologically going into the postseason knowing, all right, Kane is back.
My friend Phil Hirsch with a great picture.
I've seen the video that Laz posted. There's Kaner with the shot, the wrister. Boom.
It's unbelievable.
Back of the net.
Brian Hedger. Kane still doesn't appear to be taking slap shots, but he is really firing wrist shots.
He's firing wristers, as they say.
How about that?
Yeah, I think. There you go. There's something exciting about a player, a superstar, that's eager to get back in action. And please don't read into that, people. This is not a criticism of Derrick Rose. Or a reference to Derrick Rose. This is a Derrick Rose-free zone. But when you got a guy who clearly is motivated, as Patrick Kane seems to be, to get back on the ice, be part of things, and he broke his collarbone,
Cap. Is there any truth to the rumor that Derrick Rose was spotted at the United Center yelling to Kane, don't do it! Slow down!
Actually, no, he's at Johnny's Ice House, because I think that's Johnny's Ice House.
Who cares?
See, you guys did that to me. Now you guys are making it bad. But you know what I mean? Kane sort of oozes sort of enthusiasm for the game. You know how much he loves it. Now, Derrick Rose, that's not his personality. That's not his persona. It's not anything about him that tells you. You have to watch a commercial to have him tell you how much he loves basketball. He would die for the game. I think he said that once. Kane, you just see it. He's skating around before he's supposed to.
Laz just tweeted, Patrick Kane firing wristers with abandon. Big follow-throughs. Haven't seen him wind up for a slap shot yet, but looks good.
I know. You get a little giddy, Cap.
So jacked.
I know. You got opening day, you get giddy about. But when Kane is back ahead of schedule like this, and don't get too far ahead of ourselves, and I'm already getting far ahead of ourselves. But it does encourage you in a lot of ways if you are following the Blackhawks and you expect – because it'll be 6 weeks, April 6th, I believe. Because that's when Derrick Rose is supposed to be back. And I remember writing, if he's not back by the Sixers game, then you can have all sorts of doubts and questions.
That's what Nick Friedel said with me yesterday, that if he's not back by the Sixers game, then you got big trouble.
Then it's like, oh, really? Here we go again?
Let me go back to baseball with you for a second. What happens if Carlos Rodon, since he didn't come up and the Sox missed by one game and John Danks has a bad season, you could go, wow, should have had him up. Or what if Chris Bryant was up, hit five home runs.
I'm going to agree with you, Cap. You asked a question. I'm going to agree with you. If they lose the division or playoffs by one game and Carlos Rodon was down at the minors for 2 weeks, bad decision.
Okay, and what if Chris Bryant was up, hits five home runs in 12 days, and the Cubs lose all five of those games?
Yeah.
And they don't make the playoffs, and you go, we wasted 12 days for a year of service?
The columnist in me understands that would probably be foolhardy. The fan in me would say, I will worry about 2021 when it gets here.
That's not how you think.
Let fans think how they want to think. You can't tell fans how to behave at games. Don't tell me not to boo. Don't tell me not to put 2021 ahead of opening day. Don't tell me that if I'm a fan.
All I know is in 2021, you'd be writing a column. Can't believe that they didn't have an extra year.
I can't hear you. I'm a fan now. Let me enjoy my 3 minutes of fandom.
312-235-2525. Speaking of fandom, my guy. You can leave for a while. Pat Connaughton from Notre Dame joins us next.
From Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
Grant off to Connaughton. Connaughton to the left of the top of the key for three. Got it!
Almost beat Big Blue Nation on Saturday. Had it. Just couldn't quite seal the deal. That was from the Notre Dame Radio Network and the voice of Jack Nolan, Pat Connaughton. Now, he joins us next. I'm full disclosure, I despise Notre Dame football. Hope they never score another point.
I think everybody knows that.
Everyone knows that.
Even though you're wearing the green today.
I am wearing green today because of our next guest.
Yeah.
But huge Mike Bray fan, have been friends with him for a long time. And there are certain players I watch play and I go, if I was coaching still, I'd recruit that guy. That guy could play for me. This guy is one of them. He's become my favorite player in college basketball. He's also a baseball player. He's Pat Connaughton from Notre Dame. Pat, good morning. How you doing, buddy?
Morning, Pat.
I'm great. Thank you for having me on the show.
Thanks for coming on. Look, I am not a Notre Dame fan. I didn't go to school there. I hate the football team. I was rooting for you guys the entire tournament. Love the way you play. What's your favorite sport, baseball or basketball?
You know, someone always tries to get me to say a legitimate answer on that question, and I always have to rethink to myself and say I love them both.
All right, let's try another way, Pat. So now the basketball is over, and I saw you having to address this last week in Cleveland, and it's interesting because rarely do you see somebody emerge from a college career good enough to play one professional sport, let alone two. You're blessed with having perhaps a choice to pursue career opportunities in professional basketball and obviously as a member of the Orioles organization. How far will you go down the road toward the professional basketball career?
I'll go as far as it takes me. That being said, I won't search it unrealistically. I don't think or I know for a fact that I probably wouldn't go overseas if the opportunity presented itself. I'd probably have to do something here in the United States. Or else I'd be, fine settling down to baseball.
When you were coming out, you were a quarterback in high school. You were a baseball star. Basketball, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Bentley College was like the only school after you. And then you go to play in an AAU tournament, and it changes your life. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so, a lot of people had me as a very projectable quarterback. Baseball has kind of always been there. And basketball was the lone thing in the room that, really wasn't getting any attention. And I wasn't sure why. I don't think, to be honest with you, I changed anything. I don't think I changed doing anything. But the fact of the matter is I wasn't, on a national scale. With AAU nowadays, I was always playing baseball during the summer, some football during the fall. So I wasn't able to go to those tournaments that, got you the exposure you needed. And when I finally was able to, I was fortunate enough to get seen by, one assistant coach from one school. And, it just kind of had a domino effect where every school was like, well, why are they there? So we should stop and watch it and such of that nature.
Pat, when you walked off the floor the other night, obviously it was one of the best efforts of the NCAA tournament. You guys came up a little bit short last possession. But that is a Kentucky team that people are comparing to the best teams in college basketball history. Do you think, number one, they can be beaten this weekend at the Final Four? And number two, where does that effort, even though it was a losing one, rank as far as in terms of your career best?
So I think, to be honest with you, anybody can be beat, on any given day. That being said, I don't believe they will be beaten. I think Wisconsin has a great chance, but I think we had the best chance, and we obviously took them down to the wire. And then, I've never been one for moral victories. I've been competitive as heck through my entire life, and it's something that's kind of gotten me to where I am. But when you look back on it, you will be able to be proud of your team. I mean, being the captain of the team, I'm proud of the way know, my guys went up and they weren't scared. And I think a lot of times Kentucky, you know, can win games just based off showing up. I think, you know, they have that type of length, that type of height, that type of, you know, thing that comes with their name where they're a big, one of, if not the biggest time programs. So you got to take that into consideration and just be proud that, you know, your guys put themselves in a position to win the game if, you know, one thing falls a different way.
What is it? We're talking to Pat Connaughton from Notre Dame. What is it like to play at a school where there's no middle ground, man? You either love Notre Dame or people hate Notre Dame. You have to have gone into rival arenas where just because it says Fighting Irish, they are all over you.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I think, you know, personally, you know, besides you, that seems to at least root for us when you hate us. I prefer being around people that love us a little bit more. But I think you got to embrace it. I mean, it's just like growing up in the New England area in Boston, Massachusetts. I mean, you're a diehard Boston sports fan, and you know, you go. Not a lot of people like you, especially as a New England Patriots fan. So I don't know if I should have admitted that on the show, but
right,
that's kind of the way it is.
You know, now Pat, you go from playing for Mike Bray, who, again, friend of both of ours. I've known him since the day he arrived at Notre Dame when I was living in South Bend, and a guy that just an ideal players coach, and just I know how close you guys are just from having talked to him and watching you guys. And I know you're only part of the minor league system, but Buck Showalter is the manager of the Baltimore Orioles. How contrasting are their styles, and how would you describe what it's like to be around both of those guys when they're doing their job?
So, yeah, Coach Bray, obviously, you know, I've been around him for 4 years, and, you know, he's done so much for me, both on and off the court, you know, giving me the opportunity that I had. And I've met Buck Showalter. I haven't had the opportunity to be around him yet. I haven't gotten up, you know, to his level in the Baltimore Orioles organization. But they seem to be, you know, the best at what they do. I mean, you got to look at their body of work, and you just got to look at the opportunity that lies ahead of you to be able to play for, you know, someone, you know, of his nature and on a team that's, you know, up and coming in, you know, the American League.
Pat, we've had Jeff Samardzija on a number of times. I've gotten to know him because I do a lot of Chicago Cubs baseball, so I got to know him exceptionally well. He's a wonderful guy to deal with. What is your relationship like with him?
So his brother, his older brother, Sam, represents both of us on the baseball side of things. And, you know, Jeff, obviously, he's busy. He's busy becoming the opening day starter and things of that nature. I've been able to talk to him. I've also been able to talk to Sam as being like a middleman when Jeff's busy or I'm busy myself. And, you know, he's been great. I think, you know, the biggest thing is the fact that, you know, we're cut from that same mold. I mean, we both went to Notre Dame. We both played two sports, and we both had have an opportunity to play two professional sports. I think, you know, he might have been a better football player than a high basketball player, but that's just from what I saw in my personal opinion. So I've always appreciated him just saying, live it day by day. I think that the biggest thing for guys of our nature and playing the two sports is you can't plan ahead because you don't know what's to come. You don't know what options are going to lie when everything's said and done. So day by day is kind of how I live.
So, Pat, graduation in May, is that on the horizon here academically? How would you describe your experience at Notre Dame? Because we know how difficult that is there, and we know that, you know, Mike Bray's program is sort of – when you saw it and it had the national attention that it received over the past couple of weeks, it was a proud moment for Notre Dame because you guys do things the right way.
Yeah, you know, one thing that's really helped me with this two-sport thing and on the academic side to balance it is being a basketball player, they don't necessarily require you to, but it's that unwritten rule where, you know, you come to summer school, you get workouts in, and, you know, you take classes so that, you know, during the season, if you have to drop one, then it's not a big deal because you're still on par with graduation. But, you know, I kind of saw it as an opportunity to get ahead. So, you know, I'm done with classes now. I've been done for a few months because I was so far ahead. I probably could have graduated in December, but it's something that you just got to be able to time manage. And I think, honestly, being a two-sport athlete, you learn how to time manage so well that throwing school into the mix and doing things on road trips is something that comes easily.
Hey, before we let you go, I picked Duke to win it. I have them taking Kentucky down in the championship game. Why do you think that Kentucky is going to seal the deal and win twice this weekend?
Well, I think I've learned in math class at Notre Dame by the transitive property, we beat Duke and Kentucky beat us, so I think Kentucky would beat Duke.
It's pretty good.
Transitive property, that's good stuff.
Pretty good. I question that they could – look, the game against you guys, you had it. It just didn't get sealed. Wisconsin, I don't know if is athletic enough to keep up with Kentucky. That's my big concern there. I do think Duke beats Michigan State, but Duke has athletes. Duke has Jahlil Okafor. Something just tells me that magical Monday night the Dukies are going to cut the Nets down.
Yeah, they definitely have, you know, one of, if not the best shots, I think. I think the thing that is in Kentucky's favor is the length. I don't know if Jahlil has seen the length on different fronts, not just from the guy guarding him, but the guy who's coming over from help side. And then I think Kentucky has, bigger and stronger guards. I think that might play a factor into it besides, you know, Tyler Ulis. But, as an ACC man, I don't think you can really root against someone in your former conference or in your conference.
One other thing I wanted to ask you technically, you guys did not double inside on Karl Anthony Towns and Willie Cauley. So there was not a lot of doubling. You did double once. The ball went to the wing, to the corner, actually, and Tyler Ulis buried a three, and its reaction from Mike Bray was, I knew he shouldn't have doubled. How much of that was talked about?
We didn't want to change our game plan. I think even with, Jahlil Okafor, we didn't double that much. We helped a little more because we had a guy that we could help off of. But we thought we could absorb twos and that threes were going to be the dagger. And if you look at it in the first half, before Zach got into foul trouble, he had a great chest over Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, the guy went 2 for 5 in the first half, and we were in position to get the rebounds because we didn't double. And then in the second half, I think, foul trouble made it a little bit more timid for Zach to go up. And then, he was able to make 8 out of 8 shots, which you got to give the kid credit for.
Absolutely right. They made their last, 9 down the stretch. We appreciate you taking time. Love the way you play, and we'll be rooting for you.
Thanks, Pat.
Thank you very much for having me. It's been a blast.
You bet. Good luck.
Thank you.
See you. There he is, Pat Connaughton from the University of Notre Dame. So all you Irish fans out there that think I'm a hater,
no,
I'm not.
Well, you admitted it, though. You admitted you hate Notre Dame football.
Football.
Okay.
But I could recognize.
You did.
I love Mike Bray.
That was nice.
And I love that kid.
That was nice.
And he Zach is August, love how he plays.
6'5", fighting for rebounds, really tough-minded. Pax loves him. I know John Paxson loves Pat Connaughton, the way he plays. He's
a more talented John Paxson.
He's a leader on that team, gave them the grit that they really used to go as far as they did.
He's a more physical John Paxson.
Yeah, Pax was a guard, though. Pax was more – I think Pax was smoother.
Pax could shoot it.
Yeah. And Connaughton can shoot it, but I think that he mixes it up inside more than Pax ever would.
312-235-2525. That's Whack Bro.
Oh, yeah.
Is coming up.
All right.
We'll have some fun
Let
with that.
Let us know.
Light them up right now. We've got – Lou Malnati's gift cards for the best. That's Whack Bro. Also, tweet at us at Cap and Haw or email us, capandhaw@gmail.com. Be right back.
When things just aren't right.
That's whack.
That is whack.
When situations become
unacceptable. It's unacceptable.
And people, well, they do things that just ain't cool.
It's whack to me. It's whack, bro. It's whack.
I guess you could say, that's whack, bro.
That's whack, bro.
That's whack, bro. All right, here's the deal. We're doing fine. We're great. Let's get right to our points. We hope you're doing well. And then you end it by saying, that's whack, bro.
Exactly.
Okay?
That's good. Just like the texters, they get the hang of it. If you're texting like this one, big Cubs fan, ready for opening day, patient with renovation, but ESPN causing opening day to become opening night. That's whack, bro.
All right.
Thank
Don't
you,
agree
219.
With it, absolutely. Let's go to the phones. 312-235-2525. Dan's in Kayberry. Hey, Dan. What's going on there, Sparkles?
Hey, Dan.
Hey, love your show. I know I'm not getting a pizza for this one, but for Vegas to pick the Cubs to take first place if they finished in last place last year with good teams like the Cardinals, the Brewers, the Pirates, the Reds, just because they have a bunch of kids who haven't really proven themselves in the major leagues. That's whack, bro.
That's a good one. Why would you pick the Cubs to win the World Series?
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate
you, Dan.
It, buddy.
815. Derrick Rose.
You're welcome. Thank you. Great job.
Thanks, yeah.
Derrick Rose not playing tonight because we're heading to Milwaukee to watch the game. That's whack, bro.
Who cares?
I love that. I like the other one, the Cutler one he's got. Whatever. Jeannie in Bloomington. Jeannie, what's going on down in Bloomtown?
Not a whole lot. How about the Cubs being conservative with Chris Bryant and then thinking of playing him in a outfield surrounded by a brick wall? That's whack, bro.
That's pretty good.
I like that one, Jeannie.
Very good.
I thought
you,
she was
going
to rail against the whole service time thing. And then that's a good one.
That was good. I like that.
Let's protect the asset by putting him near a brick wall.
312-235-2525.
708 Texter, playing the biggest basketball games of the year in football stadiums where no one can shoot. That's whack, bro.
Cap gushing over anything related to Notre Dame. That's whack, bro.
I was thinking that too. I did not text that. DePaul considering Tim Floyd as head coach. That's whack, bro.
That is whack, bro. Let's go back to the phones. Jason in Lansing, Illinois. Hey, Jason.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. Love your show.
Thank you.
I've been watching this since on the air on CSN.
Great.
My that's whack, bro, is that, you know, we talked about the Wrigley renovations that I think it's – they think about completing it until 2018, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I
let's get to it, Jason. Let's go, dude. Come on, look alive here, pal.
Okay, I would think that fans would react and do exactly like that Buick commercial when they say, "That's not Wrigley Field. That's what I told them."
Thanks, Jason. Took a long time to pay that one off.
708. Hey, Gene Ponsetto. Great April Fool's joke. Now who's the real men's basketball coach? That's whack, bro.
Wow. Yes, pretty good. Gary in Iowa. Hey, Gary.
How's it going today, guys?
What's up, buddy?
I hope that Jay Cutler stays 10 more years with the Bears.
I don't.
Because Cap without Cuddy, that's whack, bro.
Oh, God, I would probably
that's
collapse.
A good one.
Thank you, Gary.
702. Hall calling out Cap, not a team player. Then he covers up his Comcast logo on his shirt. That's whack, bro. Why did I cover it up again?
I don't remember.
I don't either.
Why did he do that?
I'm wearing it proudly. I'm wearing the colors.
If it's for free, it's for me, right?
Thank you, Jessica.
Let's go to Jim in Chicago. 312-235-2520. I still got three pizzas to give away. Hey, Jim, what's going on there, Cookie?
Hey, Jim.
Hello?
Yep.
Jim?
Oh, Jack. Jack from Brookfield.
Hey, Jack.
Oh, Jack.
Sorry about that.
Good help's hard to find, man.
Hey,
go
Jack.
Ahead.
That's whack, bro, to start.
Okay.
But the
shut up.
Go ahead, Jack.
Oh, he hung up.
Oh, wow. Cap, why did you do that?
I didn't do anything. Don't put that on me. That was not me.
Oh, jeez.
All right, Jim in Chicago. Call us back, Jack. Jim in Chicago.
Hey, guys. Cap, El Hombre returns. What's up, buddy?
What's up, El Hombre?
I got a quick that's whack. Mark Trespin raids Barry Manilow's wardrobe. That is whack.
Have not seen Coach Trespin lately.
Yeah, we've had enough of Coach Trespin. Thanks, Jimmy. Appreciate it, buddy.
574, South Bend, Indiana. That's whack, bro.
Pretty good. Let's
Don't
see.
Pick on South Bend like that.
Mike in Macomb, Illinois.
Hi, Mike.
Hey, Mike. What's up, buddy?
Hey, guys. Thanks for the show. To the Chicago Cubs not having Wrigley Field bleachers done until June and no fan being able to catch Chris Bryant's first home run. That's whack, bro.
Thanks.
That's pretty good.
That's a good one, Mike.
That is nice.
And I think June is optimistic. 630. Scott Darling has goals against under one, but won't start Thursday. That's whack, bro. A lot of Darling love out there.
There is, but Corey's the guy.
I know.
Ken in Northridge, California. Hey, Kenny.
Hey, how you doing, guy?
What's up?
Hey, Ken.
Well, a few months ago, Cap, you called Kobe Bryant a punk, which I thought was way out of line. But you call him a punk, and you got the biggest punk in the league in your town, and you know who I'm talking about.
Who?
That's Whack Bro.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Ken.
Yes.
Who's the who do we have in Chicago that's a punk?
I'm talking about on the Bulls.
Who?
Who? The guard that never plays.
Why? He's not a punk. He just doesn't get on the court enough.
Well, I don't think Kobe Bryant's a punk either, so I thought you were way out of line calling him a punk.
Okay, thank you, okay. Ken.
Got a couple of texts.
When
here.
Did I call Kobe a punk?
Who
and,
knows?
I think people took that out of term and took it out of content, and it is what it is.
Okay. Listen, I'm going to just get picked on again because this guy's all over me, says 773. Haas saying daily he's not a Rose basher, and then he proceeds to bash Rose. That's Whack Bro.
That's pretty good.
Did I bash Rose?
And I think people took that out of term and took it out of content.
Okay. How about another one? Says 574. This is from North Jetson. Bob Childers in North Jetson. People that have been on board with Theo's plan. Wait a second. I just lost it here. People that have been on board with Theo's plan this long and won't give it a few more weeks, that's Whack Bro. He's talking about what you're saying about the Chris Bryant stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Hutchinson Carver on Twitter. I only win if I substitute Jimmy Clausen for Cutler on Madden. That's Whack Bro.
That's the only way he wins?
When he plays Madden. If he plays with Jay, he loses.
815. The fan assuming Chris Bryant's first home run will land in the bleachers. His first home run will land on Waveland Avenue. That's Whack Bro. 847. Ken calling and saying D. Rose is more of a punk than Cutler. That's Whack Bro. that's good.
I have no issues with D. Rose being a punk. I just want him on the floor.
773. Cap being the president now of the Corey Crawford fan club. That's Whack Bro. Yeah, you know, that changed really fast. That kind of did.
In what way?
Yeah, you went from... In what way? You sound all so innocent there. You were suggesting the long vacation for Corey Crawford to get refreshed.
I said he needed a couple of days off, and they gave him some time off, and now he's back, so I should be coaching the hockey club.
773. Caps lime green sherbet shirts. That's Whack Bro. I actually like that shirt.
Thank you.
Sporting the guns. The gun show.
The gun
Cap
show.
Gun show.
312-235. 312-235.
773. Jack getting emotional and hanging up. That's Whack Bro.
Jack got mad.
It wasn't anything. You made it worse by just focusing on it. Like the bad misconnection with his name. People don't like to have their name mispronounced.
I can only read what's up on the screen.
Experience growing up. I'm over it, though.
Don Esser, these aggressive callers are Whack Bro.
I don't think I was happy with anybody today.
312.
Me still waiting for my Malnati's gift certificate when I won back on March 11th. Yeah. That's Whack Bro.
Well, shut up.
A skinny and hungry Magoo from Glenview.
312 is after you, Cap. Cap taking the crown from Hawk as the biggest homer in Chicago. That's Whack Bro.
I'll gladly take it.
815, Cap wearing a Stifle Tower pin to work. That's Whack Bro.
Back to the phones.
You're a good sport, Cap.
Don in Fox Lake. Hi, Don.
Hey, Don.
How you doing?
What's going on, you duck?
You got it. The UConn coach and the basketball coach bemoaned the fact that the NCAA didn't pick his team because he thought they were so deserving of it. Then he goes out and loses his first NIT game. That's Whack Bro.
Very good, Don. Nice. Like that one. Thanks, pal.
Okay.
See ya. 312-235-2525.
And here's from Mason City, Illinois. John says, the best player on the Cubs not being in the opening day lineup. That's Whack Bro.
Stop. Tyree in Country Club
speaking.
Hills.
It's the people.
Yes. How's it going, guys?
Hey, what's Tyree? Up, Tyree?
Hey, nothing much. Anyone calling in and suggesting that the youngest MVP ever in the history of the NBA is a punk, that's Whack, bro.
Exactly. Thank you very much, Tyree.
Thank you, guys. Have a great day. Keep doing a great job.
Thank you.
847, the fact the NHL did not move the Hawks and Blues game Sunday to midday
to accommodate
the Cubs-Cardinals game, that's whack, bro.
Totally agree with you.
Yeah, why did they do that? Why didn't they do that? That would have been a great – imagine how much fun that would have been.
Oh, would have been great. I could have done a column on going to – different stadiums in the same town. It's never been done before.
Never been done in Chicago before. Ever.
I know writers ever done that.
No, it'd be too cliche.
Yeah. Brian in DeKalb, Illinois.
Hey, Brian.
Hi, how are you fellas doing today?
Good. What's up, Brian?
Well, I don't think this is Scott Boras's fault, or I don't think it's the Cubs' fault, the way they handle it. It is the way business is. I blame Major League Baseball for not addressing this a long time ago, because this is a problem that's come up over and over, and the fact that the Players Union and Major League Baseball can't get it together so we can see our stars start the game in the beginning of the year, that's whack, bro. And I'm with you all the way, Cap. I'm a big Cub fan. I'm waiting.
Thanks, Brian.
Hopefully not much longer, buddy.
Yes! 773. I'm sorry, Cap. Thanks to Cap's tan and his shirt, Comcast can save money on electricity. No lights needed. That's whack, bro.
I like the shirt.
I do, too. It's bright. It's cheery.
Yeah, it's springy.
Oh, are there two different suns out in Arizona? Cap looks like George Hamilton. Hall looks like he never left Chicago. That's whack, bro.
I get tanned thinking about getting tanned.
That's good. And, yeah, you definitely.
You also had like a big straw hat on when we were at camp, and I didn't have a hat on.
You must think a lot. You must be in deep thought when you're down in Arizona.
Am I that tan?
You're pretty tan.
It's a little excessive.
Maybe not excessive is the right word.
I don't know. I put 30 on every day.
Might want to bump it up. Just a couple.
What do you want me to use? Like that white? What is that stuff?
This needs to be addressed. I don't know.
Fine.
You're looking at me. I'm
fine. I just want
the palest guy here.
You just want to be healthy.
I'm worried about your health, too. Of course.
Of course.
Worried about the lighting or anything for the show.
I needed a lot of vitamin E, buddy.
That's good.
You get that from the sun.
I'm aware.
312-235-2525. We got to take a timeout.
Okay.
And let's do a little page two before we get out of here.
That sounds good.
All right.
Lively session. Good job. 312. Way to bring it.
235-25.
Good job, good
25.
Effort.
Good job, good effort. MLB starts next week at FanDuel. It's changing the way people play fantasy baseball. More fun than ever. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Play for real money with immediate cash payouts. Stop waiting 6 months to win a league. Play today and win tonight. Eric Hafner from California, real dude, turned $125 deposit into $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. FanDuel paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season. But you have to play to win. Go to FanDuel.com, click the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use my code Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N. Sign up now. Here's a special offer for new users. FanDuel will match every dollar you deposit up to $200 that gets earned as you play. Offers only good for the first 50 people today that use my code, K-A-P-L-A-N. Don't forget, enter Kaplan, FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Be right back.
We're desperate for stories, and this one is so compelling.
This is Page Two.
Love Jay Giles, fan. Nice job there, Sparky in there. 312-235-2525.
We play that every week, Cap.
I know, I'm a big
every
fan.
Every day, actually.
Big fan of Jay Giles, man. 312-235-2525.
Yeah, Angel in the centerfold.
Time to do a little page two, but
yeah,
we got to start
two.
With.
We got page one information.
Some news out of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Casey Johnson just published on the Tribune website, chicagotribune.com/sports. Derrick Rose said strength in his right knee and conditioning are the last things he needs to develop before returning to action, but would not commit to a return date. Rose said he's pleased with how he felt in both scrimmages and that he was able to get to where he wanted to on the court. Asked if the back-to-back contact sessions brought clarity to his return date, Rose said, quote, hadn't even thought about it, just worrying about my rehab. He then was asked, will you make a regular season appearance? Rose's answer, who knows?
Jesus.
Yeah, he's incapable of getting good advice.
It's unbelievable.
He's incapable of getting any advice. He's incapable of expressing himself in a way that makes him seem engaged. That's just who he is. I guess we're going to have to accept it.
Tom Thibodeau said he remains encouraged by Rose's progress. He's just building, he said. He just needs a little time, but each day is better and better. It's a process he has to go through. He's got to get through some extra practices first, and then when he's good with that, we'll go to the next step after that. And what is the next step, Coach? Playing.
Okay, so I'm going to try to stay consistent here because that could be, if you're a Bulls fan, extremely frustrating just to hear him say who knows, because then the people start to wonder who cares. The thing is, if he comes back against the Sixers, which represents the six-week mark, the end of the top part of the 4 to 6 weeks, mm-hmm. right? Wouldn't it be 6 weeks?
It'd be 6 weeks.
Then all of this is irrelevant. All of this is just noise. All of this is indicative, signifies nothing. Okay? But if this lingers beyond that, if this becomes a thing again, and history begins to repeat itself in a maddening way, mm-hmm. then the questions are only going to be deeper and more damaging to his reputation, to his legacy, all those things. So, yeah, this shouldn't be surprising. It is a bit frustrating, but we've got to be consistent and wait and see what happens. How long this goes on.
You know, we were asked this question, and somebody just tweeted at me, who did you and Kaw predict would come back first, yeah. Kane or Rose?
It wasn't even a question.
It was Rose all the way. Now yeah. I'm not sure.
Because Patrick Kane is back on the ice today taking wristers 6 weeks ahead of when he was projected to be back in the Hawks lineup. That's not to say that he's going to – he can't play in the regular season. At least there are contractual reasons. There are payroll reasons. There are – reasons why he can't play in the regular season. There's really no good reason that we're aware of why Derrick Rose shouldn't be back on the court before the regular season ends.
Let's go.
Exactly. All right, Debs. Let's go. Do your job.
Let's go. He's got to play.
Just stop talking.
Wow.
I mean, think that you're going to get asked when you could come back, and are you going to play in a regular season game? Who knows?
I mean, how do you answer it that way?
I don't know. Okay, enough Derrick Rose. Let's move on. So, right up the back to the NFL. This just came over the Twitter machine a little while ago, too. So, the NFL has reached an agreement with the Charlotte District Attorney's Office down in North Carolina. They will receive photos from Greg Hardy's first trial. They will have evidence by which to make their decision on what to do now. Because Greg Hardy, the pass rusher who sat out last season on the commissioner's exempt
list. Where are the pile of guns?
I think we're going to see pictures of piles of guns. And I think we're going to figure out just how many guns constitutes a pile of guns. 6, 7, 8? Anyway, so the NFL will actually have evidence to form a conclusion, to make a decision, and to dole out discipline on Greg Hardy, who is now a member of the Dallas Cowboys. How many games do you think he gets? Because
Six.
Remember, the evidence that in these photos, whether it's the damage he did to her, we don't know what the photos are. But the evidence was bad enough for a judge to convict him. He was convicted.
I say he gets 6.
Ah, no, that's light. That's light, Cap. Roger Goodell is going to look in this day and age a picture, and you know they're going to get leaked. I mean, really.
TMZ will have them.
It's the NFL. So they're going to look at a picture of Greg Hardy's fiance at the time, I believe. Maybe with bruises, showing some effects of domestic abuse. And then they're going to see the weapons and the imagery and just how bad that is for everybody. Remember what the video did in the Ray Rice case. The video was the thing that you couldn't get out of an endless loop in your head.
In the face of an awful decision, one of the great breaks will be that he only gave him 2 games because it puts so much more of a focus on domestic abuse in this country.
I think that's true. But I think six games for Greg Hardy might be light in once they get to see everything that there is to see.
Cook County judge on Tuesday confirmed Ernie Banks' hotly contested will, leaving all his assets to his longtime caregiver, Regina Rice, after two witnesses testified that the Cubs' great appeared to be of sound mind when he signed the document. After court concluded, Banks' wife's attorneys downplayed the hearing as a procedural matter and said they would keep investigating the circumstances surrounding Banks' decision to exclude his family from his estate. Rice initially estimated Banks' assets at just $16,000, but she has now been ordered by the judge to compile a complete accounting of the estate, including any collection of baseball-related memorabilia, accounts, stocks, life insurance policies in his name, inventory due next month. $16,000?
Oh, wow. A sad story.
Horrible.
You just don't want things to get to the point they've gotten, and this is not pretty.
Horrible.
It's just going to get worse, isn't it?
Just I mean, you brutal.
Just don't like this to be played out publicly like this. All right, one more. Northwestern football. Trevor Siemian, quarterback, got injured last season. Dinner with Broncos quarterback coach Greg Knapp on April 8th. How about that? And then his pro day is April 9th, and he's slated for a Bears private workout, according to NFL.com's Ian Rappaport.
Say this
Trevor Siemian with the Bears April 7th. Interesting. I mean, it's good. You want him to get a chance. I know.
I'm happy for him.
Yeah, happy for him.
From a Bear perspective.
No, he's a backup. He's a backup. There's a story about Northwestern football I want to tell tomorrow, though, I think that is worth telling.
I watched Kane Coulter on Real Sports. Did you see that?
I did not.
Interesting.
What did he have to say?
It's just so unbelievably hard being a college football player on a full scholarship. It's just like,
I know,
dude, you need to stop.
Tough,
you
man.
Really need to stop.
I'm exploited. Look
anyway, we are out of here. Yep. By the way, shout out to Prince Bishop, a horse owner. His horse won the Dubai World Cup, $6 million. He donated all $6 million to an autism center.
That's awesome.
That amazing? And Bob Buck says, that's so not whack, bro. New respect.
Yeah, a lot very of respect. Cool. Great job.
All right, we're out of here.
Yep, see you tomorrow.
All right. Well, see you later.